All right, we left off on page 24. The last thing I talked about was God places stirrings in our hearts. That's one of the ways. Another way that the Spirit leads us is using God's Word. In John 6:43, it says, "Stop grumbling among yourselves." Jesus answered, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I will raise them up at the last day. It's written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father." Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Here it says, "But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Other than the Spirit drawing us, which before I got saved, he was drawing me. I was getting high and couldn't sleep and started reading The Hiding Place. I don't know why I wanted to start reading The Hiding Place, just because I couldn't go to sleep. And things started happening in my heart, and before long, I'm starting to wonder about God. I'm starting to carry a Bible with me all the time. I'm not saved, but I'm reading it on my breaks, because something just started stirring, and then the reality of it was made clear when somebody presented the gospel to me at church. But the Spirit was working in my heart before then. But a lot of times the way he works is he calls us through the gospel. We share the gospel or we hear the gospel and it speaks something into our heart. It begins to bring light into the darkness. And that's the way the Father is drawing. One of the ways that the Father draws us is through the Word of God. And that's why when we talked fairly recently about being ambassadors for Christ, that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We are helping to woo the world to the Father. The Spirit is using us to do that. So the Father uses his Spirit and his Word. In Luke 16:31, he said to him, "If they do not hear and listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded and convinced and believe, even if someone should rise from the dead." I don't know about you, but seeing somebody being raised from the dead is a pretty powerful thing. But Jesus was talking, this was a parable about the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom. The rich man is in the flame. And he's saying, "Hey, if you could just send somebody up to tell my brothers." And this was Jesus' answer, saying, "Hey, if they don't listen to the Word of God, Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't be persuaded even if somebody rose from the dead." And we think, man, that should convince anybody. It's not true. The Word of God is more powerful than that. And that's one of the things that the Spirit uses to lead us, is this powerful Word. In Daniel 9, verse 1, "During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the Word of the Lord, as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. Now, Daniel was a prophet, right? Well, couldn't God just tell him? No, he did it through the Word. He's reading Jeremiah's prophecies, and he goes, "Oh, I understand. We're going to be here for 70 years. The Holy Spirit gave revelation through Jeremiah's writings. Luke 24:27. "Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." We have those tapes on sale afterward if you desire. Wouldn't you love to have those tapes? Man, Jesus just taking and explaining all that was written about himself. So he used the scriptures himself to clarify to others the truth of who he was. Holy Spirit-inspired scriptures, whether read by an individual, taught through someone else, can lead, clarify, give insight, and change our lives. It's the Holy Spirit doing that through his word. How many of you have been changed through his word? Amen. All right, so you already know that's him. But so many times, through the daily nuances, we don't always recognize how subtly he's working and doing those things, popping scriptures into your head when you're in a circumstance, reminding you, you're starting to get riled up and a soft answer turns away wrath. You think of that and you go, oh yeah, well, that was the Holy Spirit speaking to you and telling you, tone it down. And you'll see this thing change. If we start paying more attention to it and recognizing when he's doing that, I think we'll appreciate the fact of how many times he's speaking into our lives. In Hebrews 9:8, by these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy place was not freely open as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented were still in use. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through types and shadows from the Old Testament. He makes those things alive. Yeah, you got to be careful on it. You can interpret all kinds of things out of scriptures. In fact, I heard this one preacher, they were talking about God, and I forget the opposing guy made some comment on God, and this Christian man said, well, Scripture says you'll rest under the shadow of his wing. Now, God's a chicken. He said you can take Scripture and just twist them all over the place. But the reality is we have to see what types and shadows are real, and Scriptures help explain the Scriptures. But the Holy Spirit does do that. He was showing that, hey, while this Old Testament setup was in place, you couldn't go in the Holy of Holies. But now Jesus has come. He's opened the way. Now we can freely enter in. In Acts 13:27, for those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, recognizing neither him nor the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, fulfill these by condemning him. Scriptures give insight if we have an open heart and mind. They didn't. In Acts 28, Verse 23, so a time was set, and on that day a large number of people came to Paul's lodging. He explained and testified about the kingdom of God and tried to persuade them about Jesus from the scriptures. Using the law of Moses and the books of the prophets, he spoke to them from morning till evening. And you guys think some of our services are long. Some were persuaded by the things he said. Others did not believe. But here he did all day. Just taking scripture and being able, I'd like to have those tapes.
Yeah.
Between him and Jesus, man, there'd be a lot of insight. In Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. So the Spirit uses the Word of God as a sword. And it can cut. It'll help us fight our spiritual battles. And then next verse in Hebrews 4:12, we'll see it can cut two ways. For the word of the Lord, word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It can penetrate and show us what we're really intending. I'll be using the scripture again just a little bit later, showing that again. But it can work negative and positive. It can be a sword that you use to cut your enemy, but it's also a sword that God uses to penetrate our hearts, to show us where we're at. It goes two ways. It can be When I say negative, I'm not meaning that it's a nasty thing. It's just that sometimes you're not expecting it to cut back towards you. Mm-hmm. You think, oh, I'm going to cut this person up with the word of God, and it comes right back at you. Because God wants us to use his word properly. In 2 Peter 1, verse 3, I can pray this because his divine power has bestowed on us everything necessary for life and godliness through the rich knowledge of the one who's called us by his own glory and excellence. Through these things, he's bestowed on us his precious and most magnificent promises, so that by means of what was promised, you may become partakers of divine nature after escaping the worldly corruption that's produced by evil desire. Everything we need. Knowledge of him, it's found in the word. And the spirit is the one who enlightens that word to us. And again, just a reminder, when you have the scriptures bringing you understanding, it's not your own mental ability. It's the spirit of God giving you understanding. It might seem like your own ability to put the truths together, but it's by his leading. And again, I'm not saying you hear a different voice in your head every time you get a revelation of scripture. It's just, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, that makes sense. That's him. Because natural man cannot understand the things of God. And so the Spirit of God, and so you can probably look in your life and see the different times God has just popped a scripture into your head that you thought, oh yeah, yeah. And you used it, but you didn't think twice at the time that, oh, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. You just thought, whether you're thinking, oh, it comes from memory, I've learned those things. It's the Holy Spirit working in and through us. And as we learn to appreciate him, we will see more and more of what he's doing in our lives, and we'll learn to discern his voice in a clearer way. Another way that he leads us is by the truths he's already established in our hearts to guide us. Daniel 1:8. Daniel determined in his heart he would not defile himself by eating his portion of the king's rich and dainty food or by drinking the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might be allowed not to defile himself. He knew from his training, his background, that, hey, I shouldn't be doing this. And so he made a stand, and God honored it because he was walking in the principles that God had already put into his life. In Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous meditates to answer, and the mouth of the wicked utters evil things. It's a wise thing sometimes to just take a moment to think before you answer. It gives the Holy Spirit time to quicken things into your mind before you just shoot off something that you're going to be eating shoe leather. Right. And we all have done it. It just pop off with first thing we think, and it's just our carnal answer. It's just us. I know I have that. Especially when you see injustice, there's kind of like, oh man, I'd like to just sock that guy. You can't do that. And sometimes people are antagonistic and they're coming at you, challenging you or whatever. It's good to just take a minute and not just blurt out, but just kind of hear them. And at the same time be saying, Lord, I'm not sure how to answer this. He can give you wisdom. He can pop a scripture in your head. However he works with you. With me, he pops scriptures in my head. I mean, they just seem to pop up, and it becomes a guiding principle for me at that given time. Proverbs 16:23 says, the heart of the wise instructs his mouth. Well, who's living in our hearts? The Holy Spirit is. If we're letting him reign, his wisdom will come out and help us to just speak wisely and add persuasiveness to our lips. Ecclesiastes 8:5. He who keeps a royal command experiences no trouble, for a wise heart knows the proper time and procedure. So this is talking about, what in context, about a earthly ruler, but it'll apply to using the wisdom God's given us through everything we need. And so here's some comments from commentary. Discernment. The wise servant understands that time and judgment procedure must be considered in everything we do because it takes discernment to know the right procedure for the right time. The impulsive person who overreacts and storms out of the room is probably only making the problem worse. Wisdom helps us understand people and situations to figure out the right thing to do at the right time. The wise heart will know the proper time and procedure. I had an individual I worked for that I learned the proper time and proper procedure of when to ask for things that I needed on my job. Because I would see him walk in with a stormy cloud above his head. And I knew, I don't care how bad I need this thing now, I am not asking for it, because I know what he'll do is he'll say no, and then he'll stick to his word because he just felt like he wanted to put me in my place. And so it might be 2 or 3 weeks before I could ask for it. I never had a problem with the guy because I learned to read him. The proper time, proper procedure. I saw some other people who did not read him. They did not get what they needed. Right or wrong, it was something I had to live with and deal with and had to learn to work through. And so we can know things. There's a proverb says that he that sings songs to a heavy heart is like pouring nitre on vinegar, or vinegar on nitre. It just causes a foaming. Well, you don't, somebody's sitting there just terribly sad. You don't go up and go, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has. That's scripture, but it's not the proper time or the proper place. So again, back to notes. This is illustrated beautifully in the lives of several Old Testament believers. Joseph didn't impulsively reveal to his brothers who he was because he wanted to be sure their hearts were right with their father and their God. Once he heard them confess their sins, Joseph knew it was the right time to identify himself. His handling of this delicate matter was a masterpiece of wisdom. Nehemiah was burdened to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, but he was not sure the king would release him for the task. He waited and watched and prayed, knowing that God would one day open the way for him. When the opportune hour came, he was ready and the king granted him his request. We talked about that. He knew how to discern time and procedure. Again, the next one was Daniel, who we just talked about. The apostles exercised spiritual discernment when they were arrested and persecuted. They showed respect toward those in authority, even though the religious leaders were prejudiced and acted illegally. The apostles were even willing to suffer for their faith, and the Lord honored them. So we have the options of disobeying, running away, defying orders, and even fighting back. But before we act, you got to exercise wisdom, seek to discern the right time and procedure. It's not always easy. If it was easy, we would all be masters at it. But we're all in different stages of our Christian walk, our understanding, our level of maturity, our understanding of the scriptures. But God desires to speak to all of us and minister to all of us. How many people like committees? In the natural, I've been involved in committees, and usually the stuff just goes around and around, and everybody's just hashing stuff back. And unless it's really, you have somebody that's really organized and begins to take the points and channel everything, you walk out of there going, That was a waste of time. Well, here they had a godly meeting. I'm not going to read all this scripture here. I'm going to jump in Acts 15, 5 through 29. Just kind of summarize. They were there talking about the ministry to the Gentiles and should they be circumcised or not. And so Peter stands up and he shares what happened with him. Barnabas and Paul explained everything that they've been doing. And afterwards, James ties it together and then he throws in a scripture. And then down here in verse 27, therefore we're sending Judas and Silas, who will tell you these things themselves in person, for it seemed best to the Holy Spirit and to us not to place any greater burden on you than these necessary rules, that you abstain from meat that's been sacrificed to idols, from blood and from what's been strangled, and sexual immorality. You read that context, you never see anything where all of a sudden they say, oh, the Holy Ghost is, he wants to have a say here. They recognized that the Holy Spirit was speaking through the works that he had done, through the scripture from James. And it was like they discerned, okay, yeah, this is God doing this. And it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us. It's always good when it seems good to both of you. You can walk in confidence when you have that. And because of what they did, they sent out. Remember we talked about us having the mind of Christ there in Corinthians. They had the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We just have to use it in given situations. You always have a choice. You can do it your way, the way you've always done it, or you can do it his way as he's changing you. Because all of us have learned various means of dealing with issues. Mine used to be to run, quit school, go AWOL, not face responsibility. And then I got saved. He said, I got you now. One of the things you're going to learn is you have to face that consequence. But my natural tendency was to book. I'm out of here. Every one of us has some type of faulty mechanism because we've been raised in the world with the philosophy of the world, the training of the schools. Even if you've been raised in a Christian family, you still pick stuff up. I'm amazed at how they do that. Short story, my son went to Christian school. We didn't have a TV. We didn't have a TV until after kids left. But the principal at the time wanted to just see what the kids were learning, so he asked them to write down as many beer names of beers as they could. Guess who won? My son. We don't have a TV. And he named the most beers. Where did he get that? It wasn't the whole... You didn't give him that wisdom. But I'm just saying that's how subtle the things of the world are, even for us. They creep in, and we're not always aware of it. There's a song that plays on the radio. I like it. It's a slow burn. It's a slow fade as we're turning away from Christ. People that do, it doesn't happen just like that. It's a slow fade. There's things that begin to take place. We have influences all around us. But in reality, Scripture says we have the mind of Christ. We can learn to have his thoughts and do things His way. Another way is that the Spirit just speaks into our hearts and minds. How many of you have had the Holy Spirit just speak to you? It wasn't just a scripture. Okay. Here's in Matthew 10:27, it says, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in daylight. What's whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs." And I have on the notes there, this is what it seems to be more times than not for me. It's like a whisper of a thought going through my head. It has more of an impelling or force than my own thoughts. That's the only thing. It's kind of like it kind of is pushing me to do something with that. Whether it's for me personally, whether it's a prophecy, whether it's a word of knowledge, there's just kind of a drive behind it, but it's not like I'm hearing a deep bass voice in my head telling me these things. Because it's His Spirit communicating with my spirit, and so it seems to come like my own thoughts. And yes, we'll get to it. He can speak audibly to you. He's done it several times in the scriptures. If I don't respond to it, there's usually a regret. If you feel condemned and a harshness behind it, that's not the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Because He's trying to lead us and to guide us and to teach us. He's not hammering us like, "All right, you didn't listen, I will never use you again." Because some people have a tendency to run in that fear that, "Oh, man, I think God wanted to use me." And then there's this condemnation that just sits down where it's like, now they're crippled. Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. If you look at your lives just from the beginning, He loved you while you were still His enemies. So if you're one of His kids and He's talking to you and you misunderstand or don't do it, He's not cutting you off. There might be some consequences, some chastening, but it's always a corrective, loving, guiding thing where He's working at redeeming you rather than putting you down. In Luke 12:11, "When they bring you before the synagogues, magistrates, and authorities, don't be anxious beforehand how you shall reply in defense or what you'll say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour and moment what you ought to say." He's going to speak it somehow. We just have to know to listen. I shared before, my mind runs, I do scenarios in my head. Okay, if somebody says that, what would I answer? Part of it is me just checking my heart. Can I communicate? But I think it can have a bad tendency because you want to set yourself up and have all the right stuff ready. He's just saying, they bring you in. All right, here I am. And then just asking Him, okay, Lord, I have nothing prepared. You said You would do this. I'll just stand there and wait till I hear from Him. What else have I got to do? John 14:26. "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things, remind you of everything I've said to you." It's the Spirit going to teach us. We have to learn to recognize when He's doing it. Because He's the one that's going to cause us to grow, to mature, to change. And if we're not hearing Him, we're probably going to just kind of stay stagnant in our walk. Because we're not responding to how He's wanting to move us on to the next place. Matthew 11:25, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank You, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because You've hid these things from the wise and prudent, revealed them to babes." You do not have to be old in the Lord to hear from Him. For people that are wanting to be used in spiritual gifts, you don't have to be 30 years in the Lord. Okay, now I think I'm mature enough that he'll use me. He can use you the day you get saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's going to speak to you just when you're getting saved, because his Spirit's going to bear witness with yours that you are a child of his. But sometimes the older ones that have been around for a while but just haven't been pursuing it, you have to watch your feelings, because you get some young people, young in the Lord, whatever their age is, and all of a sudden God starts using them and all kinds of stuff. It's like, well, what about me? It's a difference in heart. Sometimes we've been just sitting around feeling just real comfortable. Well, my life's together. You know, I do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And we're not really pursuing. Our Christian walk is a continual pursuit. We're chasing after him and his ways. So if you have that feeling of, man, I've been around for a long time, and you're seeing people just getting saved, being used by God, the thing is not to get jealous, but to be stirred by it, to pursue him. John 16, verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he'll guide you into all truth, the whole truth, the full truth. He will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He'll give the message that's been given to him. He'll announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me, because he will take of what's mine and reveal it, declare it, disclose it, transmit it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine, reveal it to you. You can't get around that verse and say the Spirit doesn't speak to us. You just can't do it. In Acts 10, verse 19, this is Peter. He's up there wanting lunch, and so he goes up to pray, gets in a trance, and it says, the Spirit speaks to him, says, three men are waiting for you downstairs. Is that a word of knowledge? I consider it to be a word of knowledge. You're sitting there, you're upstairs, you have no idea who's downstairs. No, hey, there's three guys waiting for you, and you go downstairs. Hey, there's three guys waiting for me. Isn't that a coincidence? And he says, don't hesitate to go with them, because they were soldiers. That's kind of comforting to have the Lord tell you, you see soldier come to your door. And it's like, okay, what's going on here? It's kind of like seeing a policeman come to your door in the middle of the night. You have no idea what's up. The Spirit in Acts 8:29 told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So it's the Spirit speaking. In John 18:37, Pilate said to him, then you are a king? Jesus answered, you say it, you speak correctly, for I am a king. Certainly I'm a king. That's why I was born, and for this have I come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, who is a friend of the truth, who belongs to the truth, hears and listens to my voice. As God's children, we're to be friends of the truth, because the Spirit of truth will be speaking into our hearts. All right, so now we're going to start getting into a little bit finer detail of discerning the voice of the Lord. So what things will help us to discern this? First thing to realize, that good intentions do not equal the will of God. And this is a perfect example in 1 Chronicles 17:1. After David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in the palace of cedar while the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord's under a tent." Nathan says to David, "Whatever you have in mind, do it. God's with you." Doesn't that sound good? Sure. I mean, that's a prophet talking to you. He doesn't say, "Thus saith the Lord," but he's a godly man. He says, "Hey, whatever you have, God's with you." And that night, the word of God came to Nathan saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build me a house to dwell in." We can have good intentions, but they're not necessarily the mind of God. David's heart was for a good thing, and Nathan felt so too until God gave a clarification. So sometimes you can weigh things out, and it seems like a good thing. Like when I left the school one time because I felt they were taking advantage of me, not paying me what they were paying everybody else, and I allowed that to fester. And Dave Walker wanted me to go work with him. And it's like, yes, a Christian brother, that's a good thing to do. Until the first day, and I put in my two-week notice, went to work. First day on the job, we're working along, we're going to take a break, I'm going to wash my hands, and the Holy Spirit says, "You're in the wrong place." Oh, you have no idea how crushed that can make you feel. It's like, now what do, God? I had good intentions. Thankfully, God worked it out, and a few months later, ended up back in the school, and I didn't even pursue it. God just worked it out. And I've been there ever since. Don't want to go. Lord hadn't told me to go. In Proverbs 16:1, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. That one's a little bit hard to discern, so I tried to get this commentary to help make a little more, shed a little more light on it. This cannot mean that wise thoughts are human, but wise words divine. We know we don't always think the wisest thoughts. That man unaided can plan well, but only by God's help can speak well. But rather that after man has done his utmost in planning, his wisest plans may come to naught in the comparatively easy act of giving utterance to them with a view to their accomplishment unless Jehovah guides his tongue. The implied moral of the proverb is, if you can't do the less without God, don't attempt to do the greater without him. In all your ways acknowledge him, he'll direct your paths. In Proverbs 16:9, it says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. We at times make plans that we feel are good, like David wanting to build a house for God. Yet sometimes we see our plans fall to the ground or not get accomplished at the time we thought they should take place. We got to always remember that God ultimately is going to accomplish his purposes, and we got to be constantly pursuing him, especially if our plan did not work out. Sometimes he'll give you a reason, sometimes he won't. Paul wanted to go into Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit said, nope. He said, all right, I want to go into Asia. Nope. All right. Scripture doesn't say how he did that, whether the Spirit just spoke to him, but he stopped him. He had good intentions. What was he going there to do? Preach the gospel. Well, God, you won't stop me from preaching the gospel. That's what you sent me to do. He stopped Paul because he had another place he wanted him to go. So we can have good intentions, we can have plans, but we got to be open to God changing our plans. Now, I'm a very routine person. Stop laughing. I mean, my life is so routine, it's almost, well, it is boring to some people. But it's fine, I like it. We eat at the same, pretty much the same time every night. We go to bed the same time. I get up the same time. But I like it. I'm sure Kirk would do well in that type of setting.
We would love each other.
But I got to be open to God changing my plans. Thankfully, he hasn't done it a whole lot of times. Part of it is because I believe the way I'm wired, he's given me that. But he will take me out of it at times. And then I hope he swings me right back. Are you having trouble discerning the difference between your thoughts and his? This is where Hebrews 4:12, talking about that word. I got this from the Amplified here, the last part of it. It exposes and sifts and analyzes and judges the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Reading the Word of God will cause you to become more aware of the differences between the purposes of your heart and God's heart as you seek him with an open one. Some people try to read the scriptures with the purpose of validating their pet theme or idea. That's where you come up with some real weird doctrines, because they're just plucking things out that seem to go together. The way I study scriptures is I look for things that go against what I believe. And that's why I've got some of that stuff burning on the back burner for 15 years, is because I look at the controversial stuff. Because if you can shoot a bullet through my doctrine, then my doctrine's not sound. It has to be based on the full scope of Scripture, including the Scripture that seems to just throw a wrench in my whole pet theme. They have to dovetail. And so I just keep looking, keep reading, waiting. And over the years, God has taken some of those things and he's just fit them right into place. And he's given me understanding on how that contrary thing fits in over here and rounds it out. You can't feed your pet ideas. You got to let the Word of God cut you. Okay, he can speak differently at times. In 1 Kings 19:11, this is talking about Elijah. He's in the cave, and he said, "Go forth, stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord." You got it, man. There's boulders crashing and breaking in pieces out there. He's in this cave. That would make you think, okay, that's the Lord right there, man. Powerful. He didn't go out. He stayed in there. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. Tell me you'd like to be inside of a cave during an earthquake. Oh yeah, this feels great. I'm inside this mountain and everything's trembling. I'd want to run out. He stayed in. And after the earthquake, a fire. I don't know what type of fire there was, because he's on this mountain with rocks. All of a sudden, there's fire outside the cave. He's seeing it. Lord wasn't in the fire. And then a still, small voice. Elijah. Yes, Lord. So he can talk to you very quietly when you're wanting the booming voice of God. And you have to just be ready to hear him when he speaks quietly in the stillness of your heart. Psalm 29, verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It's majestic. It breaks the cedars. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. What, coming out of his mouth? I have no idea. But there are times when it's like that. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deers to calve. No! Those deer start dropping babies. It's like, okay! I don't know what. He strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everything says glory. So it can be in a very powerful way to you. Or it can just be that still small voice. Scripture shows them both ways. Ezekiel in 43:2 in the NIV, I saw the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the roar of rushing waters, and the land was radiant with his glory. So his voice was like the roar of rushing water. How many have been to Niagara Falls? When you're standing down in those tunnels and the water's coming over you, just a roar. So God's voice alone can be very impelling. There's something about that still small voice that moved Elijah, that caused him just to respond. So if we learn God's voice, he wants us to be moved by it, to respond to it. The character of God is embedded in the words that he gives. This is a way to discern, another way to discern if it's from God. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit of God can ever say, Jesus be cursed. No one can really say, Jesus is my Lord, except by and under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will never put down Jesus. Never. And so you have both in discerning somebody speaking or thoughts running through your head that put down Jesus or make him less than what the Word of God does. That is not the Holy Spirit speaking to you. In Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with him. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. The Spirit produces these fruit in us because that's what he is made of. And so when he's speaking to us, it bears the stamp of his nature. He's not condemning. He is gentle. He is love. He's peaceful. There's patience. There's kindness. Those are just some of the attributes you're looking. Not all of them will always fit, but as we learn his nature, we can recognize that that's not how he would speak. He would not speak that way. There are some other scriptures we're going to look at that show a little bit more of that type of thing. because there are many people that have had things that they heard and they thought was the Spirit of God speaking to them, and it was totally off base. And part of it was the nature and the character behind the word. Because I'm telling you, Satan in the last days is going to be doing miracles. I can't remember the guy's name that went to the Philippines. He wrote that one book about the Spiritistas. But these guys, in the name of Jesus, were doing stuff, and he was there personally. Where the guy was actually just standing there, and then he just reaches into the guy's chest and does something and performs some type of miracle. But afterwards, the Spiritistas were having drunken orgies. We've got some scripture that covers that too. But miracles and just, we have to discern, and one of the ways we discern is by looking at what our God is like. The Holy Spirit, this is part of his nature. This is what he's like. And so that helps in discerning when we think he's speaking to us. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, love endures long, is patient, kind, it's never envious, doesn't boil over with jealousy, is not boastful, vainglorious, doesn't display itself haughtily, it's not conceited, arrogant and inflated with pride, it's not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way. It's not self-seeking. It's not touchy, fretful, or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It doesn't rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. That's the love of God that he's wanting to infuse in us as we apply his principles. But we're reversing it. This is how he is. He's patient. He's kind. He's not conceited. He's not rude. The Holy Spirit is not rude when he deals with you. He doesn't overshadow you and say, you're going to do that anyhow, because he gives us a free will. We can choose. But the way he approaches us and deals with us, even in correction, is to work to have our hearts become more like his. And we have to determine and see that working in his lives. So that helps us to discern the voice that we're hearing and also how we should act as we're being used by God. I had a prophecy today. God spoke to me. Guess what? That's not the Holy Spirit speaking through me right there. That's my own carnal self, because God's love is not boastful, arrogant, proud, unmannerly. It's not self-seeking. So if you're desiring to be used in spiritual gifts so that you can be considered spiritual in the church, you already have a wrong motive. What you should desire is I just want to be a vessel open before you. I want to be used by you, but I want to be used to accomplish your purposes, your way. All right, we're going to have to end right there for today.